Blog Talk Radio.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't
you
run on greed?
You are the instrument.
What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy.
To bring about
this, the world
runs
on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly from the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise
system. But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us. Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
Good evening. You are listening to the C. Robert Jones.
Solansky wrote the book Rules for Radicals.
Premature story of my life. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. And as I watched the news over the weekend, I am greeted with protesters in New York City, Wall Street, protesting people who make money, who are making a living, people who have wives, children, family. They just happen to be making money on Wall Street. It could be any one of us. 2020's in the house, Marine Times, Pendleton Marines, John Galt's in the house, Republican Marines, Stay Mad Radio, Evil Clown, Billy's here, Beach Bum is here. Great to see you guys. I hope y'all had a wonderful weekend. Protesters. New York City, Wall Street. Folks who create wealth in this country, some of them are working in the mailroom. They just happen to be going past and getting in the building to do their jobs. Not everybody who works on Wall Street is filthy rich, makes a ton of money. Not everybody. But I will say this, those who work on Wall Street, for all intents and purposes, earn their money. And if they don't, then what business is of anyone else's? What's occurred here is that the president of the United States of America has incited anarchy. He has incited these people to behave this way. All of this talk over the last, I would say, roughly 2 years of the greedy corporate fat cats, the wealthy people, the millionaires and billionaires, the corporate jet owners. Obama is stupid, but he is no fool. It's all been orchestrated. It's all by design. It's class warfare, which will shortly result in open real warfare between the classes. We see New York City police officers arresting folks. How soon before we have open rebellion, rioting, looting, and the like? So far, it's been relatively peaceful. And we haven't had much in the way of violence and unrest. But that could change at any time. Any time at all. What Barack Obama is following, what our president is following, is Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Now, those of you who listened to my show in the past, 2020 Radio must be having a great time. He must have gotten into the cooking sherry. Oh, only us rich people have cooking sherry. I'm sorry. Some of y'all lesser folk have wine. Sorry. Man, just put my foot in my mouth, didn't I? cooking, Sherry. Anyway, so, hey. Oh, my goodness. Hey, listen. Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. We talked about this in previous blog talk shows when we talked about Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and the Cloud and Pivot Strategy. We've talked about it before, and here's what we have right here now. A combination of the Cloud and Pivot Strategy along with the Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Not to be confused with Lewinsky. Dig it. You know, I happen to be affiliated with my main man, Glenn Beck. And so I'm going to go ahead and play a clip for you right now. For those of you who are not familiar with the Cloud Pivot Strategy and the Alinsky Rules for Radicals. And I know a lot of you are, because the kind of folks that listen to this show are the kind of people who really pay attention to what's going on. And you know your Rules for Radicals. And you know your Alinskys, and you know your Clowards and your Pivens. And you even know your Glenn Becks. So let's go ahead and sort of recap what we've talked about on previous blog talk shows. Here we go. Rules for Radicals. Now, let me just preface this. Barack Obama has said that he is a great fan of Saul Alinsky. And Hillary Clinton is also a great fan of Saul Alinsky. In fact, they were such good pals back in the early to mid-70s that he asked her to come and work for him and full-time while she was working for him part-time. And she turned him down because she wanted to get more involved in politics, and then she was going to marry this dude named Bill Clinton. So we have Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who have openly said that they are good fans of Saul Alinsky. Now, let's play the clip.
I want to ask you a question. You know that the NEA has made rules for radicals recommended reading? Did you know that? Yeah. The people in Washington, they're the radicals. They're the radicals. They are. Not you. Not me. But rules of radicals, their playbook. May I quote something out of that playbook and just ask yourself, who are you more comfortable with? Rules of radicals, quote, lest we forget at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from our legends, mythology, and history. And who's there to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which? The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom. Oh, man. Lucifer. You know, Satan. Saul Alinsky. We are dealing with people who think they should rebel until they get their own little kingdom like Satan did. You know what? Thanks, Mr. President, but I think we're going to keep the internet the way it is right now. You know, or at least until people aren't worshiping Satan and, you know, are in office.
All right, so now we've got a good idea of what Saul Alinsky is all about, just from the fact that he dedicated his book to Lucifer, because Lucifer rebelled against the power structure, maybe the white power structure, and he won his own kingdom, and so that's what Saul wants for us here in America, to rebel against the system and win for ourselves our own kingdom, and that's what he wants for those protesters in New York. But I wonder. Let's just say that the protesters and Michael Moore and all those other fools out there, that they get their way. And just like in Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, the people of Wall Street simply walk away, take whatever money they have, and leave the country and go move to one of my favorite places, St. Martin. Okay? It's a Dutch, it's part of the Dutch, the formerly Dutch Empire. It's not part of the United States. Just move there. What would they do? Would they go into the buildings, sit behind the desks, and just kind of man up and do the jobs that those folks were doing? What would happen? What do these people want to happen? Do they want the money that's being made on Wall Street redistributed to the masses? What is it that they want? No one really knows. The question was asked all weekend long to a variety of folks, and no one really was able to provide a coherent answer. What do you want? What do you want to see happen? Do you want to see these greedy capitalists stop making money or make less money? What do you think they want? Here's what I think. I think Barack Obama has engineered this whole thing. Now, we're going to get deeper into it, and we're going to talk about it because it's important. And what's important is that we're learning that Barack Obama is desperate. And so what he's doing in desperation, he is inciting unrest, civil unrest. I won't go out and say that he's inciting violence, just civil unrest in this country. He wants people to stand up and get in their faces. It's the Saul Alinsky method. Take a listen to this.
Welcome to IBDeditorials.com. How Obama applies Alinsky's rules. By Investors Business Daily. September 22nd, 2008. Election 08. Barack Obama's mocking of John McCain while urging his followers to, quote, get in their face, unquote, are tactics right out of his radical hero Saul Alinsky's playbook, ridicule and agitation. At a recent Las Vegas rally, Obama poked fun at Senator McCain for what he described as bragging about, quote, how as chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, he had oversight of every part of the economy, unquote. Quote, well, all I can say to Senator McCain is, nice job, unquote, Obama said in a sarcastic tone. Quote, where is he getting these lines? It's like a Saturday Night Live routine, unquote. Then he belittled the 72-year-old McCain for vowing to take on the old boys network. Quote, in the McCain campaign, that's called a staff meeting, unquote, he sneered. The late Alinsky, a trench warfare socialist who despised American capitalism, advised community organizers like Obama to, quote, laugh at the enemy to provoke irrational anger, unquote. Quote, ridicule, he said, is man's most potent weapon. It is almost impossible to counterattack ridicule. Also, it infuriates the opposition, who then react to your advantage, unquote. At another rally in Nevada, Obama called on the crowd of about 1,500 to join him in sharpening their elbows against McCain and his supporters. Quote, I want you to argue with them and get in their face, unquote, he said, in a naked attempt to, quote, fan hostilities, unquote, in the tightening race. Something Alinsky also advised from his bag of agitation tricks. Obama doesn't look or talk like an angry radical. He speaks in measured tones and is rarely seen out of business attire. That, too, is borrowed from Alinsky's playbook. Quote, don't scare, unquote, the middle class. He guides urban revolutionaries in his 1970s manual, Rules for Radicals, which he dedicated to mankind's, quote, first radical, Lucifer, unquote. Instead, look like them, talk like them. Act like.
Okay, so we're back with the C. Robert Jones situation report. So now you see it. Now, this is what's happened here is what you see happening with Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Barack Obama is talking about being a warrior for the middle class. The majority of the folks working on Wall Street are middle class folks. Which middle class is Barack Obama talking about? That's what one wonders. His methods, are so transparent now. It's amazing. The reason why this man's poll numbers are tanking and the reason why he is so desperate, is that he has been discovered. You see, in 2008, we did not know. A lot of Americans didn't know what they were getting. A lot of Americans didn't fully understand who he was. They didn't know who he was. There were the various and sundry. Various and sundry mean the same thing. I don't know why I do that. A lot of people do it. Nevertheless, America he's all known about now. He's known about. Back when Bill Clinton ran for president, there were all sorts of rumors about Bill and other women. But they were mostly chalked up to, you know, rumors and gossip. Nobody really took them seriously because the man was so cool. I dug in myself. I voted for Bill Clinton the first time around. I fell for it. I drank the Kool-Aid. I sure did, and I'll admit it. With Barack Obama, what we saw was folks were drinking the Kool-Aid. It was hope. It was change. A black man in office. It was all good. We were all loving it. You know it. Even you, Beach Bum. Even you, Billy. Even you, evil clown. Certainly, Stay Mad Radio was feeling the love. He had a tingle up his leg. He told me so. But I'll tell you this right now. We're not feeling the love anymore, Mr. Obama. These rules for radicals, they're not working. You're not doing a damn thing anymore. We figured you out. You're just another sheep in wolf's clothing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got you now, boy. Oh, I didn't mean to. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I said boy. Excuse me. I don't want Al Sharpton giving me a call. For using the word boy. But hey, let me say this. Let me say this right here and now. I've said it many times. I'm going to say it one more time. Barack Obama is like the story we've all heard when we were kids. The story about the emperor with no clothes. Where the little boy is the only one who is man enough to tell the emperor that he's standing in front of everybody buck naked. Well, somebody came out and they called Obama out for what he is. And now more and more people are beginning to see it. And what's happening is the left is infuriated because now they know that we know. The game is over. The jig is up. Me and 2020 Radio, we voted for Slick Willie the first time because we dug him. And I tell you what, when he put on that colored tie, I think it was not the Jay Leno show, but the Johnny Carson show or somebody's show, and he played the sax, I dug it. I dug it. I had a thrill up my leg. I dug it. And I voted for the man. I tell you what, I turned off Rush Limbaugh for the whole campaign. And I had been listening to Rush since 1988 as a young Marine stationed in California, where he had his first full-time radio show, talk, all talk radio. I dug it. I ate it up. I was a ditto head, and I stopped being a ditto head all throughout the campaign because Rush was talking too bad about my main man, Bill Clinton. But you know what? Rush was right. Rush was right. I was fooled. I was blinded. I was drinking the Kool-Aid. And it took me a year and a half to finally figure it all out. But it's taken most Americans about 2.5 years to figure out Barack Hussein Obama and how he has fooled the American people. He is destroying this country from within. He's using the Alinsky method, except that we all know it now. We all know it now. And exactly. 2020 did too. 2020, I'll go you one better. I'm talking to one of the guests in the chat room, 2020 Radio. He's got a show coming up in about less than an hour, I think. Everybody tune in. If you're listening to this show, tune in to his show next. I'll go you one better. I attended Rush to Excellence tours. I was in the audience of six of his radio TV shows. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was in the audience. I tell you what, that was when Rush was around 360, 70 pounds. But anyway, I dug it. I dug it the most. But hey, back to the show. Starting to get excited about those good old days. But hey, Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Barack Obama, playing the game. We figured it out. He's got, just a couple thousand folks in New York. But that's just the beginning. There are going to be an expansion of these protests in a few more cities across the country. Barack Obama is gearing up for class warfare. In fact, he's planning on it. He's counting on it. I have it on good authority that the man Obama's contempt is bordering on treachery, and my man Steve McCain of the American Thinker has it down cold. He writes that Obama's contempt is bordering on treachery. The United States faced with its worst crisis in 65 years has at the helm a radical political class as personified by Barack Obama, who has chosen a path trod by so many despots in mankind's recent history. Barack Obama and his fellow travelers are exploiting the fear and desperation of the growing number of citizens amid gaping fissures in American society in order to retain and expand their control over the populace. That's exactly right. That's what we have here. The man is, he's desperate. And desperate times call for desperate measures. His poll numbers are tanking. He's pretty much done. There's been a leak from the White House that's saying that Barack Obama is doing just this thing, and this is what he has planned. But Obama's socialism for dummies is falling on deaf ears here in the United States of America. Like my man Dick Armey said just a couple of days ago, this guy doesn't know who we are. He doesn't understand America and Americans. He doesn't understand it. And that's exactly what we have here. A man who simply does not understand Americans. He's not a historian like me, yours truly. He is a radical. There aren't enough radicals in this country. There are not enough socialists in this country to affect the kind of change that Barack Obama wants to affect. And unfortunately for us, even Barack Obama can't get around the Constitution enough to do the things he really wants to do. I envision a scenario where, and dare I say it, where Barack Obama attempts one too many times to circumvent the Constitution and winds up being overthrown and thrown out of the White House, thrown out of power, where there is a coup, a military coup or some other type of coup, where Barack Obama is removed from office. I have seen it. I have dreamt it. It's just that bad. I believe that at some point, Barack Obama is going to go too far, and impeachment proceedings are going to have to be put out. And he will have to be removed from office. He is on the verge. He puts one toe continuously on the line. In the words of Charlie Murphy, Barack Obama is a line stepper, a habitual line stepper. And he's stepping on the line. Charlie Murphy said this about Rick James and how he used to get into it with Rick James a lot, as is on a it was on a television show that I liked a whole lot. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Barack Obama is a habitual line stepper. He keeps crossing that big toe over that line, and he's going to do it one too many times. And he's going to wind up being not only the first African-American president of the United States, but the first African-American president of the United States forcibly tossed on his ass out the door. Yeah. He's done. He is done. Short of stealing next year's election, he's done. Stick a fork in him. He is done. Goodbye. Finally, Barack Obama has admitted that I never expected it. Did you? Where Barack Obama admits that we're not better off 4 years after he took office, from the time he took office, we're not. Of course we're not. Why would this guy think, he's supposed to be this great genius, that his policies would work? Is this his idea of fundamentally transforming the United States of America? Or is it the Alinsky method? That's what I think. I think it's the Saul Alinsky method and the Cloward and Piven strategy. So now let's move on, because I'd really like to get into Cloward and Piven for a moment. Talk about that. We talk about it all the time on this show. Our mainstays for this show are three things. Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, and what they mean to America today. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and the Cloward and Piven method. The reason for this is that it's not simply an opinion anymore. Our president is employing these tactics every single day. Every day. So let's take a look at the Cloward-Piven strategy, and you'll get some idea of exactly what I've been talking about. Oh, and lest we not forget the FCC diversity czar's remarks recently, discussing plans to shut down conservative media. We'll be right back. You are listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Robert Jones Situation Report. Cloward and Piven. Let's talk about it.
The Cloward and Piven strategy, in a nutshell. Left-wing radicals Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven advance their strategy to end poverty in a May 2nd, 1966 article in The Nation. Cloward Piven starts with the idea that there is a wide gap between the entitlements that poor people are eligible for and the entitlements that they're actually collecting. They say getting everybody onto the welfare rolls will wipe out poverty, and the only way to accomplish that is through a massive massive, multi-city education campaign making heavy use of the media. So once the poor know that they're eligible and start to sign up, what happens next? In their own words, quote, a crisis, end quote. A crisis that starts in the cities that would rapidly spread to a nationwide level and force the government to move quickly to create a new program for direct income distribution. Marxism. Wait a minute. Community organizations overwhelming the system that would lead to a massive redistribution of wealth. Gee, where have I heard that before? That's Cloward Piven's strategy in a nutshell.
Okay, now we're up to speed. Those of you who listen to the situation report know this strategy. Barack Obama is employing this strategy. Socialism. His way of attempting to gain control, to get the masses on his side. Does Obama want civil unrest, some ask? Or does he truly believe that he is helping America? I personally think he wants civil unrest, and I'll tell you why. He cannot effectively change anything without it being dismantled and destroyed and then rebuilt. Fundamental transformation. The economic crisis is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Step one, pass legislation that increases government power with the so-called good intentions of helping the economy.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight
exactly.
of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have not,
Phil Donahue, folks.
When you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism?
Who do they replace him with? Who do they replace?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed?
Exactly.
You think Russia doesn't run on greed?
Exactly. All of these, there is only one happy medium, and that's here in the United States of America. All of these folks believe that the grass is greener on the other side of the socialist utopia. Stay Mad covered this very topic on Tesla's Hot Topic yesterday. And he says so in the private chat. So, here's what Obama seeks to do. Pass legislation that increases government power with the so-called good intentions. How will he pass such legislation? He doesn't have control of the Congress. Well, he needs to – it's a tall order at this point because he needs to be, one, reelected, most importantly. And secondly, he needs the masses on his side to vote out all of those many Democrats who now hold the Congress. Otherwise, he can't get legislation through unless he signs a series of signing statements and executive orders, thus completely disregarding it or going around the Constitution or working, as he said many times, and I quote, under the radar. Yeah. So after he is reelected, step three will be to, well, the mass confiscation of private property, which will cause massive riots and civil unrest. But by then, Barack Obama will have been reelected. Pretty much a lame duck. Obama will have no choice but to enact martial law, which basically removes the rights of police and states from controlling citizens while using the military or a military-type force to enforce curfews and detain people who are perceived as threats to the public and the government. This also does away with habeas corpus, protection from unlawful imprisonment, search and seizure, all of that. But all of this transpires shortly after Election Day 2012. Follow me. Step four. Once martial law is enacted, then the Constitution can be easily dismantled or rewritten or completely disregarded, thus ensuring that President Obama is pretty much the last president of the United States for quite some time, which I have predicted on numerous occasions. This has actually been used in other countries just for that purpose, this scenario that I put out. Bear in mind that I am a world historian, general history. I have no specialty. Every aspect of history is of my domain. This has happened with the Weimar Republic, Hitler's Third Reich, Mussolini, the Tsars of Russia, everywhere. It's the same basic playbook. It's the same the world over. I feel sorry for those who keep buying or burying their heads in the sand because they have no clue that our rights can be gone in the blink of an eye. With some well-placed government strategies, and by the time we figure it out, it'll be too late. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who listen to the situation report, you know what I'm talking about. We must be vigilant. This guy is a clown and an idiot, but he's not a fool. He knows what he's doing, pretty much. I just don't think it's going to work. Or will it? Is it a coincidence that we have protesters protesting Wall Street at this juncture? Remember that during the big bank bailout, when the banks were being closed and the administration was issuing all of this bailout money and all of that, 2008, 2009, there were no protests then. Were there? No, there weren't any. But all of a sudden, the administration comes out with these talking points about corporate jet owners, millionaires and billionaires, and all of that. And the rich paying their fair share. All of a sudden, we have protests. We've got Michael Moore getting out there. We've got all sorts of weird radicals getting out there. We've got that clown, that insane clown. No offense to you, evil clown. We've got this insane clown, Roseanne Barr, talking about killing bankers and all that sort of thing. Nobody's paying attention to her. I just happened to hear it earlier this morning. I'm wondering why she's still breathing, but apparently something's keeping her going. And she's just fodder for just a bit of amusement at this point. But nevertheless, when Barack Obama starts talking about folks going out and getting in people's faces, going out and voicing your protest. No, he didn't say it outright because that wouldn't be appropriate. He used the code words, the secret handshake code words, those fat cats, those millionaires and billionaires, pay your fair share, corporate jet owners. When some mother has to sit at her kitchen table and worry about how she's going to get her kid through college while these corporate jet owners are flying their jets. Oh, you can keep your he's generous enough to say that those corporate jet owners can keep their corporate jets. They'll just have to pay a little more to fly them. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, oh great one. What we have here is an economic crisis. What Obama is orchestrating is a social crisis. Obama is personally, purposely pushing the country to civil unrest. There were calls made to Washington, emails, faxes, polls, town hall meetings, marches on Washington, protests throughout the country, elections of Republicans in New Jersey, Virginia, and in New York. Yet Obama doesn't hear the people. Obama vows to push ahead with his second stimulus package. A second stimulus. The first did not work one single bit. As you all well know, not one single job was created in the month of August. Nearly $1 trillion spent on stimulus. The Obama administration claimed 2 million jobs were both or either saved or created. Yet the unemployment number is hovering around 9.1, 9.2%. And Obama, the left, and the media continue to thumb their noses at average Americans with our clinging to our guns and our religion while he goes on vacation at Martha's Vineyard, parties like a rock star, flies everywhere at our expense, has a great time. Oh, and don't be fooled by that little farce of a photo op at Target. How bizarre was that? How transparent was that? It just so happened that someone was tipped off that the First Lady was going to be there. It just so happened to be the same guy that went on the Spain trip and every other trip that the Obamas took when they flew out of the country on their various vacations and endeavors. That same guy just happened to get the tip off that Michelle was going to be at the Target, and he hurries over. He just happened to be in the neighborhood. That guy. That photographer. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. It smacks of desperation. And quite frankly, I'm enjoying every little bit of it. Desperation is the order of the day with this White House. But here's the thing. It's like cornering a dog or a snake. Treachery abounds. These guys are doing it. They're pulling out all the stops. I would love to have been in the meeting that, of the person who suggested that Michelle head on over to Target, pick up a few bags of groceries, a gallon of milk, some paper towels, some toilet paper, some deodorant, you know, a couple of Cheerios, and head on out the door. Hopefully somebody will be there. They'll notice it's you. They'll take some pictures, and we'll just disseminate it all over the place. So you're perceived now as not this woman wearing all this millions of dollars worth of jewelry, chilling in Martha's Vineyard, flying all over the world at government expense, that you're just an average woman shopping at Target. She says, hey, I prefer Target to Sam's Club. Okay. Who gives a damn? We all know that the First Lady does not shop regularly at Target, not as the First Lady. Maybe she did as Michelle Obama. Maybe as Michelle Obama on the south side of Chicago, in Hyde Park, just off Lakeshore Drive, she hung out at the Target. Maybe she shopped at the Fresh Market, Whole Foods, all those places in Hyde Park. But not the First Lady heading over to Target. Nobody's buying that. What the hell was that all about? All right, 2020's out of here. He's got to go and get this show started. His show starts in 10 minutes. Please go and listen. I'll be there myself, but I'll have the football game on in the background. But nevertheless, head on over to his show. Dick Armey says that Obama's policies could foment civil unrest. Folks are figuring it out. Civil unrest. The president of the United States citing civil unrest. When was the last time this sort of thing happened? Well, perhaps during the Vietnam War, yeah. But was it the president of the United States inciting that civil unrest, saying people should go out and get in other people's faces? Was Nixon or Johnson using the Alinsky method to incite civil unrest? What does Obama think he's doing when he goes out and tells people to get in other people's faces? He's the president of the United States of America, the most powerful country on this planet still. What is his role? It is to protect all citizens, be they fat cat bankers, bus drivers, corporate jet owners, millionaires, billionaires, and those making under $20,000 a year. He is the president of all of us. Why would he go out and tell people, pretty much, to get in these people's faces, that they need to pay their fair share, when he knows that what he's saying is disingenuous? It's not true. These fat cats, these corporate jet owners, these millionaires and billionaires are really those people making over $250,000 and more. Not millionaires and billionaires. Warren Buffett had to take him down a notch or two. How embarrassing was that? And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Warren Buffett got in his face and put him down a couple of notches. America, and I've said it once, I said it 43 times. America is about freedom. Mr. Obama, what about that don't you get? We are designed, it is in our DNA, our blood, it is in our the very fabric of our being to be free. And 4 years of your disastrous reign as president is not going to change that. We are bred to desire, to need it, like the very air we breathe, freedom. Freedom. To be free. Don't try to change it. Don't. It's not going to work. But he'll keep trying right up until election day. He'll keep trying to take away even the little things. How much salt we use in our food. How much sweets our children can eat. He's not thinking so much on a grand scale, he's even going for the details. Certain types of foods being removed from schools. He's not satisfied with that. Certain types of foods we can eat here in our homes, in restaurants. What is the president thinking? And what is his lunatic wife thinking when they attempt to influence restaurants to serve smaller portions? Will they sell smaller portions for the same prices as they did when the portions were larger? Or will they lower the prices as well and thus make less profit? Americans are not meant to eat smaller portions. We're meant to eat whatever we damn well please and how much we please. And the government shouldn't be about telling us what we should eat and how much we should eat. This shit's getting out of hand. Seriously. I'm starting to become agitated. And it's a rare occurrence. Seriously. I was watching Fox and Friends earlier this morning. 7 o'clock. One lady on one side of the curvy couch, another lady on the other. What they really couldn't get through their heads was that the government should not be in the business of telling us how much salt we should have in our food. The government should not be in the business of it's not their business at all. One more thing before I end this show. I dig gadgets. I'm a gadget man. I have every gadget. I have a lot of gadgets here. I love them. And I think I would probably go out and buy one of those damn electric cars, one of those hybrids, just cause, so I could have one. Because I'm that kind of guy. But I tell you what, I will never, ever buy a hybrid car or an electric car now. Because the government is telling me that I should. And I consider myself to be a microcosm of American society. The government tells me I should do something, I'm going to do just the opposite, just because they said I should do it. This is getting out of hand. This man has got to go, and everybody in his cabinet and administration have got to go November next year. I'm going to do whatever I can to get these clowns out of office before they completely and utterly ruin this country. All right. I think I've had a great time. Hey, you got to help me keep the devil way down in the hole. I'm telling you, because he's coming out. I want to thank all my listeners tonight. Everybody. Beach Bomb, Billy, Alexander Solo, everybody. Evil Clown, everybody. Thank you guys for being here. I love you. Good night. Have a great night. Watch the game.
When you walk through the garden,
you better watch your back.
You gotta watch your back.
Yep.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Big Man Radio, thank you.
Walk the straight and narrow track.
All my guests.
If you walk with Jesus,
gotta help
it's
me.
Gonna save your soul.
Gotta help me keep the devil way down in the hole.
You gotta keep the devil way down
in
the hole.
God bless you. God bless
He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole.
Down in the hole. You gotta help me keep the devil.